from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 6th. I'm Abby Larico. The sudden closure last October of Missouri's Gentle Barn in Jefferson County left volunteers grieving. The animal sanctuary was home to the St. Louis Six, a group of cattle that escaped a slaughterhouse in 2017.
Those animals were transported to Tennessee and also a few to California. It drew a lot of visitors on its last public day, and then they were gone.
Coming up after this news on The Gateway, a discussion with STLPR's Danny Wisentowski about the circumstances behind the animal sanctuary's closure. The Missouri House of Representatives has approved nearly $2 billion to continue funding state services through the end of June. STLPR's Evie Lewis reports.
The legislature passes a supplemental budget every year. It's common for unexpected financial needs to arise or for programs to cost more than the projections that were approved in the previous year's budget. When that happens, the budget has to be adjusted so everything can remain funded. This year's supplemental budget includes money for public education, services for the developmentally disabled, and avian flu response, among other programs. House Budget Committee Chairman Dirk Deaton says the supplemental is less expensive than was initially estimated.
We got better numbers from some of the departments. We were able to trim down some of the projections.
The budget, which passed the House of Representatives almost unanimously, will now go to the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Deputy Jail Commissioner has filed a lawsuit against Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports that Tammy Ross is suing Montgomery for battery, false imprisonment, and civil rights violations.
The suit stems from a February incident where Montgomery and his staff attempted to interview a detainee at the City Justice Center who was allegedly sexually assaulted by a deputy. The suit alleges that when Ross told Montgomery they couldn't interview the detainee, he ordered a deputy to handcuff and detain Ross. Ross argues Montgomery was holding her without any legal justification or a warrant. Joe Neal is representing Ross.
The false arrest, the deprivation of civil rights, the allegations, you know, as I alluded to earlier, it's not your run-of-the-mill case. And the conduct, it's appalling, it's outrageous.
A spokesperson for Montgomery declined to comment. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
An Edwardsville couple is facing charges for allegedly stealing millions of dollars meant to feed low-income Missouri children. De'Ara Williams and Nicholas Warford are accused of defrauding the state's at-risk after-school and summer food service programs out of $7 million. The couple was indicted in February for multiple counts, including wire fraud, obstruction, and money laundering. According to the indictment, Williams' nonprofit, the Bailey Foundation, falsely claimed it used the money to serve more than 2 million meals to children in need. Instead, the pair laundered the money to Warford's catering company and created faulty invoices for meal purchases that never happened. They also allegedly spent over $1 million on a new home and purchased several vehicles, new furniture, and extravagant trips. The couple, arrested this week, says they're not guilty. Federal officials say a Food and Drug Administration lab in the Central West End will remain open. The announcement comes after the newly created Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, had shared plans to close the pharmaceutical testing facility. St. Louis Public Radio, Sarah Fentum reports.
The FDA's Office of Pharmaceutical Quality Research assesses the caliber and availability of pharmaceuticals. DOGE on its website announced it planned to close a facility matching the description of the St. Louis lab, but an FDA spokesperson confirmed the facility will remain open. Nathan Reed is a chemist who works at the St. Louis lab. He says the last few days have been nerve-wracking for the facility's employees.
What would happen to us if this facility was closed? We have no idea. You know, there weren't any protocols to even reference for what would happen with this because it was so out of left field.
DOGE claimed closing the office would save $2.5 million a year. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Immigration advocates are urging people to contact state leaders to help get fully vetted refugees reunited with their families in the U.S. This is up against the Trump administration's pause on federal immigration and refugee funding. STLPR's Andrea Henderson has the story of how the pause has left one Afghan man in St. Louis devastated.
Muhammad's niece couldn't wait to come to St. Louis on February 12th. However, she never arrived because the federal government canceled her flight from Iraq. St. Louis Public Radio isn't using Muhammad's last name because he fears retaliation for his family. His extended family previously supported the U.S. in Afghanistan and was waiting in Iraq for refugee resettlement in America. Muhammad is urging St. Louisans to advocate for refugees to force the Trump administration to end the federal pause on refugee services and reunite families.
These people believe on this government. If you made a promise with these people, keep it.
Muhammad says families who helped carry out missions for the U.S. shouldn't have to wait any longer. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federally funded initiative designed to help farmers distribute products and provide food to Illinois food banks has been put on hold. Capital News Illinois reports the U.S. Department of Agriculture has stopped reimbursements for a program that funds the Illinois Eats program, which uses federal funding to buy fresh products from farmers and then distributes the food to food pantries and other similar efforts. Illinois is still owed nearly $18 million from the federal government to support the program. Governor J.B. Pritzker has said the Trump administration is withholding nearly $2 billion from Illinois for a variety of state projects. The St. Louis Zoo has said goodbye to its beloved polar bear, Cully, welcoming 2-year-old polar bear twins to take his place. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports the send-off of this local favorite is for the good of his endangered species.
Cully moved to St. Louis in 2015 and was the first polar bear to take residence in the zoo's 40,000-square-foot polar bear habitat. Now, 10 years later, Cully is off to the Toledo Zoo in Ohio, where he'll mate with Crystal, who has had 9 cubs. St. Louis Zoo Director Michael Masick says only 21 of 38 polar bears in North American zoos are reproductively viable, and none have reproduced in the last year.
It's bittersweet, but we're happy for Cully because he'll have an opportunity to contribute to the population, meaning that his genes, which are actually wild genes, because he was an orphan bear in Alaska from 12 years ago, he'll have an opportunity to contribute his genes to the population and reproduce.
Masick says the move was expedited to meet next month's breeding season deadline. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Oh, Cully, we will miss you, but wishing you and Crystal all the best and looking forward to get to know Kalik and Kalu, the twins whose names mean lightning and thunder. The sudden closure of an animal sanctuary in Jefferson County, Missouri, has volunteers and animal rights activists worried, asking questions about why and what happens next. St. Louis on the Air producer Danny Wisentowski has been investigating this story. I sat down with him to ask him about some of his findings. Danny, this bigger story all started with one that a lot of people might remember from about 8 years ago, about the St. Louis Six. Take us back.
This was just a moment that captured the city's attention in this immediate and powerful way. You had 6 steers escaping from a slaughterhouse in North City, running around for hours, being captured, and just everything seemed to stop while people watched what would happen. And they were cheering these cows. They named them, and people came out to watch them during this chase, and they got really invested in their lives and well-being.
Yeah, remind us what happened, though, to them once they were eventually captured.
So they were captured, but they were not slaughtered, and instead they actually went to a place called the Gentle Barn. Doing that took a lot of community support and an established animal sanctuary, but that was how the St. Louis Six survived and became famous.
That was all 8 years ago or so. The Gentle Barn announced in October that it was closing. This was surprising, as it was a big draw for a lot of visitors, and it really seemed to have a lot of community support.
That is true, and yet those animals were transported to Tennessee and also a few to California. It drew a lot of visitors on its last public day, and then they were gone.
So have the Gentle Barn's co-founders provided any explanation for the closure?
After sending several requests for comment, I was able to finally reach them just yesterday afternoon. I spoke with co-founder Ellie Lacks, and she described this as a hard financial decision, but one that was based in finances. She said that this decision to close Missouri's Gentle Barn was key to keeping its other locations in California and Tennessee afloat. She did not specify exactly how bad that financial situation was in dollar amounts or or if it involved debt or payroll or animal care. Ellie also acknowledged the criticism from the former volunteers. She said that she understood that people felt hurt by the closure, but said that, unfortunately, some people's response to pain and to sadness is to lash out.
Danny, ultimately, some high-level resignations made some volunteers believe that something is amiss. Were you able to confirm that and what the issue might actually be?
The resignations were a part of that. I learned that the Gentle Barn lost both its location manager and the animal treatment specialist at the Missouri location. We don't know the details, but it's clear there was tension between them and the sanctuary's founders, Ellie Lacks and Jay Wiener.
Former residents of the Gentle Barn that went elsewhere, do we know how they're doing?
So we do know, unfortunately, that five of them have died. There was a pig that died almost days after arriving in Tennessee, but there was a chicken, a rooster, and unfortunately, one of the members of the St. Louis Six, Eddie, died in January.
Do we know anything about the circumstances around that?
We really don't know a lot of info. Some of the animals do have some descriptions on the Gentle Barn website. There was a heart attack. Eddie apparently was injured while playing with the other cows. That is how the Gentle Barn described that injury, and he was euthanized.
What kind of void did the Gentle Barn's closure leave in the animal care community here in Missouri? And what's being done or what even can be done to heal that?
This place was serving a pretty unique population of rescued farm animals. There were cows, of course, but there were horses and pigs and donkeys and goats and animals that might have fallen out of other transport trucks, escaped slaughter just like the St. Louis Six. There are other sanctuaries in other states, but just not something like the Gentle Barn in Missouri. And it's not clear what would have to happen among the organizers and those still here to make something like that happen again.
What happens now? You've been looking into this for quite some time. What do you think the next chapter in this story might be?
Unfortunately, the next chapters might be tragic ones because the volunteers here are waiting to hear, will there be more animals dying? Having five animals die in a period of 3 to 4 months is just a lot. And I think a lot of folks are wondering, will there be stability in these new locations? Or will we find out even more concerning details about what's happening to these animals now that they've left Missouri?
Danny Wisentowski, a producer for St. Louis on the Air. Today's episode of St. Louis on the Air is fully devoted to more of Danny's reporting on the Gentle Barn and what activists are doing now. You can tune in today at noon or 7 p.m. on STLPR or find it on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. Danny, thanks.
Great being here.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.